Chapter 3, Jesus is, of course, talking to Nicodemus. I just want to read verse 3 and then down just a little bit further. Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, what is the first reason that you're born again? To see the kingdom of God. Please note that you're not born again to go to heaven. Now, there's a byproduct of being born again. But the purpose of being born again is to first of all be able to see something different. That's something you've never seen before. To see the kingdom of God. And then Jesus goes on. Nicodemus said, let's read verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? He cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot do what? Enter into what? Heaven? No, the kingdom of God." Now listen, here's what I want to say this morning before I move on, because the next passage of Scripture, you're going to see how the kingdom of God is likened to something that I'm going to show you. But I want you to see that the reason that we're born again is to be able to see and then to enter something that we've never before entered and seen because we haven't been born again. What this is coming into a realm of understanding and revelation and enlightenment that changes and radically changes our whole lives. What salvation is not saying some words and experiencing something so that we can go to heaven, although that is a wonderful thing. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's glorious, and I don't want to take anything away from that. But I want you to understand that right now and here, you can experience a life of overcoming and a life of power and a life of kingdom right now. And what this is entails is first you see something and then you enter it. And what kingdom teaching is simply this: you see something that you need in your life and then you enter it. And you can't do that without the Spirit of God. And that's what we're talking about. And I want to show you this now. I want you to turn with me in your Bible to Luke chapter 17. What I want to talk today is another portion of how to have a renewed mind. How to have a renewed mind. And what I want to talk about today is that we must learn to overcome an offense. We must learn how to overcome an offense. I want to pray. Let's pray together. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come, Lord, as vessels, Lord, that you can use and pour out your kingdom truths. Father, I pray today that I will be allowed to show a kingdom truth. And then, Father, me and these will be allowed by the Spirit of God to enter into this kingdom truth, and therefore entering into the kingdom of God. Now, if that's your prayer, put your hand on your heart. Say, "Father, I want to enter kingdom truths. I want to see it, and I want to enter it. In Jesus' name, amen." Amen. Okay, let's do it. Luke chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. "And he said to his disciples, 'It is inevitable that stumbling blocks,'" and the King James Version Bible says, "offenses should come. But woe to him through whom they come." Will you, in your walk in the Lord, have an occasion to stumble and get offended at people? Notice there that the Lord clearly says there will be people. It is inevitable. You can put it in the bank that you will encounter people in your walk with the Lord that will bring you to a place that if you want to fall down and stay there, you can. It is inevitable. You be walking along, and here comes somebody, and they do something to you, and you stumble, and you stay there. Or you can learn today how to overcome that stumbling time. And the Lord didn't put this here without showing us how to overcome it. And that's what I want us to see today. I want you to understand, first of all, you will, if you have not already, encounter people that will cause you to stumble. And just lay down on God. You just lay there. Won't go to church, won't pray, won't praise. Just lay there. It's inevitable. You'll have that opportunity. But if you so desire, you can pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and keep on going and never miss a step. And that's the purpose of today's message, is I want to show you, even though it's going to happen, and some of you may be experiencing it right now, even though it's going to happen, I want you to know that you don't have to stay there. You can get up and go on with God. He says it's inevitable. It will happen through people. People become vessels of the enemy that will come against you, and they will cause you to stumble. Now, verse 2. It would be better for him, the one that caused you to stumble, for a millstone were hung about his neck, and he were thrown into the sea, than he should come cause one of these little ones to stumble. Now, do you have to worry about that person that caused you to stumble? Do you have to take vengeance? You see, it would be better. You don't have to worry about it, the Lord said. Don't worry about it. When somebody comes, you don't worry about that person. What you really need to worry about is what? You. It'd be better for him if it was just a millstone was hung about his neck and he was thrown into the sea. The Lord says, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. But he says, as for you, you need to do this. Keep on going. Verse 3. Be on your guard. Do you think you really need to be on guard? What does King James say there? It says, take heed to yourselves. You better watch out, folks. You better be on guard. Because what the enemy desires to do more than anything is cause you to stumble. He will send people. There will be people that will come and offend you, become stumbling blocks to you, and cause you to fall down and interrupt your relationship and your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before I go any further, how many has that already happened to? You had an occasion for it. You got upset with somebody somewhere since you've been saved. Okay. And you could have laid there, but you didn't. Now, let me show you what you eventually done. But you lay there for a while, probably, and you wallowed in the pity, and you wanted somebody to come pat you. But eventually, this is what you done, is what we're going to be preaching about today. If you got over that offense, this is what you done. Be on your guard. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Should there be a proper rebuke for somebody that comes and causes another brother to stumble? A proper rebuke. Now, I don't have time to backtrack, but if you wanted to see how this is supposed to be done, you can read it in Matthew 18. I'm not going to take time with that. I just want you to understand, there is a proper rebuke. Then, what do? Forgive. Forgive. And then, verse 4, and if he sins against you 7 times a day and returns to you 7 times saying, I repent, what do? Forgive him. And look what the apostle said. And the apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. How many of you see that the Lord has now presented them something? They said, if somebody comes and does you wrong 7 times in one day, forgive them 7 times. And the apostle said, well, we got to have more faith, Father. We got to have more help. How many of you would say that? I got to have some help here. And we laugh at the apostles. But many of us walk around with bitterness in our hearts. We're laying there, stumbled and fallen. What we got to learn is how to get ourselves up and keep going. And this is a crucial message. This is the kind of message that I probably preach about once a year about forgiveness. But it's something we need to hear at least once a year, don't you think? We need to understand and keep these things before us that we can not only know how to keep ourselves proper and moving with God, but also how to keep others proper and moving before God. And the apostle said, help our faith. I want to bring to you 3 things today. Number 1, I want you to know that offenses or opportunities to stumble will surely come. I want you to know that. They don't slip. Just know it so they won't slip up on you, so that you won't think some strange thing's happening to you when a brother of the Lord comes and offends you. It's going to happen. But the second thing I want you to know is what the devil is trying to do in this offense. I want you to know what the enemy's purpose is, and that's what I'm going to address right this minute. And then thirdly, though, I want you to know what to do to get over it and how to keep on going with the Lord. So it's 3 things I'm really going to try to bring you. 1, I think I've just showed you that offenses will surely come. It is inevitable. Now, I don't want you to make a negative confession, but how many of you really believe that you probably will be offended somewhere between now and the Lord comes again? Now, all right, now let's go on. Now I want to look at what the work of this offense, what the work of the enemy, the devil, what he's really trying to do. He's really trying to cause you to stumble. The enemy, through people, will come, cause a stumbling block, and cause you to stumble. Now, and this will cause you to get bitterness in your heart. It'll cause you to get bitterness in your mind, is really what I need to say. Cause you to get bitterness in your mind, and you will not be able to continue a proper relationship with the Lord. And that's what I really want to look at now. So turn with me now to Matthew chapter 18. This is a very explicit description of what happens as you're offended. Now, if you can't relate to this, I'm sure that you probably know someone who has been offended and who has stumbled and who is now in this position. And so you'll be able to see very clearly as we move through Matthew chapter 18 what's going to happen. Verse 21. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, do you really realize that it's not 490 times here that we're talking about? It's unlimited forgiveness. We're talking here about unlimited forgiveness. You must learn to walk in unlimited forgiveness. I want you to repeat that. Say, I must learn to walk in unlimited forgiveness. One more time. I must learn to walk in unlimited forgiveness. And if we'll learn to do this, we'll understand that God can then move through us and use us very, very mightily. Now, 490 times or unlimited forgiveness. Then he says in verse 23, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to. Now, we just read in John 3, where the kingdom of God, if you're born of the Spirit, you can first see the kingdom of God. And then when you're born of the Spirit and water, you can enter the kingdom of God. What I want us to see here is that this is a kingdom truth. This is a kingdom principle that, first of all, I want you to see and then enter. If you have not, if you're not walking in an unlimited forgiveness, I want you to see today, first of all, you will stumble. Secondly of all, the purpose that the devil wants to work on your life when he causes you to stumble. But thirdly of all, how you can get over that stumbling, how you can get over that offense. It's a kingdom principle. Verse 23, for this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle an account with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. And we'll just put a number on that of $10 million. It was more than this slave could ever get. But since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and children and all that he had, and repayment be made. Now, how many of you, before the King of Glory came upon your life, owed a debt that you could not pay? But how do you understand that he paid a debt that he did not owe? And he forgave you of all your debt. And that's what's happening right here. There was a thing on our life. There was no way we could repay it. There was no way that we could come before the King of Glory and pay our debt off. But he came into our life and he forgave us. And he deemed it not payable. Verse 25, but since he did not have the means to repay, his Lord commanded him to be sold along with his wife and his children and all that he had. So your whole household is involved in this thing. You're saved, now your whole household can be saved, and repayment to be made. The slave, therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the Lord of that slave felt compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Notice the three things. First of all, what did he do? Felt compassion. Secondly, what did he do? Released him. Thirdly, what did he do? Forgave him. I want you to see those three things, because those are the same three things that you must do. You must learn when somebody causes you to stumble, causes an offense in your life, you've got to somehow develop compassion for that person. Then you've got to release them. Then you've got to forgive them. Now that's the three steps. And as we go through here, you'll see that that's the same measure that we've got to learn to do. Verse 28. But the slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. We'll say $10. And he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So his fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you. He was unwilling, however. The King James Bible says he would not. Understand that it's not that he could not. It's that he would not. And you see, when you've got bitterness in your heart, or I've got bitterness in my heart against somebody, it's not that I cannot forgive them. What is it? It's that I will not forgive them. I have the power that dwells in me to forgive anybody of anything. Why? Because Christ now dwells in me, and He forgave me of everything. There is no sin too great to be forgiven. And that's what we've got to understand, is that when somebody does something to us, it's not that we will not. It's not that we cannot. It's that we will not. He was unwilling, however, but went and threw him in prison until he should pay back what was owed. So when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, and notice, please understand, fellow people, fellow servants in the kingdom of God are going to see what's going on in your life. When they saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their Lord all that had happened. Then, summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? Now, the even as here, I want you to understand, the even as mercy was, number one, to have compassion, number two, to release, and number three, to forgive. This is the even as. This is how I'm supposed to react when I am having offense. I'm supposed to have compassion, release, and forgive. Even as. Verse 34. And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the tormentors, or the torturers, until he should repay all that was owed him. I'll go ahead and read verse 35. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you, if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Notice, not from your lips, but from what? Your heart. Now, we have started this series of messages, and twice I have drawn for you that out of the heart flows the issues of life. And we've seen that when it's pure in our heart, and then it comes out and something happens to it in our mind. In your heart is truly the desire to forgive people. Do you really believe that? In your mind is where the struggle goes on. If the laws of God are truly written upon my heart, as it comes out of my heart, there is a real desire in me to work this situation out with my brother or my sister. But as it comes through my mind, something happens to it, and it's defiled and it's polluted, and it comes out as unforgiveness rather than forgiveness. So what we're talking about here is, what do I have to do now to get my mind straightened out, to have my mind renewed, so that I can incur a renewed mind? Now, verse 34, and his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers or the tormentors until, how long? Until he should repay all that was owed him. When you, hear me now, when you allow that offense to come in your life and a stumbling block has occurred and you've got that in your life now, I don't care if Oral Roberts prays for you or Kenneth Hagin prays for you or Kenneth Copeland prays for you, or you can come up here and we'll get a 55-gallon drum of oil and dump on you. I'm telling you, you will not be freed from that thing. Not until you have done what is required of you, which is to forgive them. And listen, all your bitterness, all your anger against that person isn't going to hurt that person. Do you know who it's hurting? You. That's the whole thing, is you got to understand who is it really hurting. It's hurting you. When we understand that, see, the devil comes with a very purpose to cause an offense. The devil comes with a very purpose to cause something to happen in our life so that we'll fall interrupt our walk with God and just lay there in our pity. And when we pray, here comes these tormenting thoughts. We can't pray to God because our mind is on this person. We come here, we try to praise God. Can't praise God. That sucker. We can't worship. We can't praise. We stop giving. Everything that brings blessings in our lives is shut off because the tormentors are there messing with us. How many knows that I'm telling you the truth now, okay? I'm telling you the truth. And you've been there. I've been there. And you don't want to praise. And you don't want to pray. And you don't want to give. Because the tormentor has come. And the devil has worked his work. And he's been successful. And I want you to hear it. You can't be freed from this. I don't care who prays for you. I don't care if you fast 40 days and 40 nights. I don't care what you do. Until you work forgiveness, until you forgive that person, that thing, and compassion, and release them, and forgive them, you're going to be tormented. Am I right? Okay. Now, number one, offenses are inevitable. Number two, the purpose of the devil is to cause you to stumble and fall and interrupt your relationship with God. He wants you to be overcome by that offense so that you'll stop giving, you'll stop praying, you'll stop praising, you'll stop having warfare with Him. That's the purpose. Now, number three, what do I do? What do I do in my life? What do I do when I'm offended? Not to let the devil have his way. What do I do? Let's look. Yeah, Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. I had another place. I think I made the point. Another place I thought about going, but I think we've made the point. Number one, it's inevitable. Nothing strange has happened to you. Number two, the purpose is that the enemy has got in. You gave a place to the devil. Now he's there. And his work is to cause you to stay down, stop praying, stop praising, stop giving. Now, number three, what I want us to see is what do I do? Jesus Christ tells us, Luke chapter 6, verse 27, but I say to you who hear, love who? Love your enemies. Somebody give me our present working definition for love. Accept them like they are. My goodness, Pastor, this person just really violated me. You got to have compassion. The only way you can have compassion is to accept them just like they are. If you try to change them, then you're not accepting them just like they are. Doesn't mean what they did was right. I'm sure it wasn't, or it wouldn't have offended you and hurt you and caused you to stumble. But you've got to accept that person like they are. You've got to love that person. He says, love your enemies, first of all. Love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Do good to those. What does that mean? How do I do good to those who hate me? Well, he tells us two things. Number one, bless those who curse you. Number one, bless those who curse you. The first thing that I do when I'm offended, and folks, how many of you really believe that I've ever been offended? I have really been offended. But I have learned that the first thing that I now do is I don't retaliate. The first thing I do is I try to go and find me a place to get down before God and begin to bless that person. If I can find a place to bless the person, then I will immediately begin to work against the enemy. I will immediately send up words that will cancel out the curse that has come upon me. Bless those that curse you. There have been words spoken against you, and the way he tells us right here to retaliate those words is not with another curse, but with blessings. As they come to me and they curse me, I have to go find me a place, and I say, Father, I should bless them. Now, what does that mean to bless them? Well, I know that they probably need blessing in their health. Father, I said, bless their health. Father, I pray for their body. I pray they'll be healthy, Lord God. You see, a curse would that they would have some strange disease to fall upon them that there's no healing for. That would be what the world would do, right? I would say, Father, pray for their body. I just pray they'll be healthy. How many knows that health is one of the main things in all of life? I bless them with health, Father. I bless them with health. I bless their finances. I pray they'll be prosperous. I pray that every financial need that they have in their life is now met, and that you will open up the windows of heaven and you will pour them out blessings that they won't have room to contain. And Father, they'll be blessed. If they have children and their children, I pray, Father, I just pray that their children are obedient. I pray, Lord God, you'll bless their children with mentalities and well-being, and you'll save them all, and they'll all serve you. Every way that I can think about blessing them. If I bless their marriage, I bless them. And I learned if I bless them, that immediately cancels out the curse that they put upon me. And my mind is now freed from what they put me on. You can't hate somebody you're blessing. When you start blessing somebody, you'll never be able to hate them, because you start praying good things, speaking good words on them. You don't want to see that bad happening to them. Then the second thing he says is pray for those. Pray for those, not against. Pray for those who revile you or speak evil against you. Pray for those. How do you pray for them? Well, if I know that maybe they're having marital problems, I say, Father, I pray for their marriage. I pray, Lord God, that you will move in their marriage, and Lord, that they'll be loving one another, and that he'll love her as Christ loved the church, and she'll submit unto him as Christ unto the Lord. I mean, as we submit as the church unto the Lord. Father, I pray that I just pray for their marriage. Maybe I know they're having financial problems. I pray for their finances. I begin to pray for them. Now, see, the world is just opposite. In the world, the first thing you want to do is curse them. Okay? You want to, what they did to you, you want to do back to them. They curse you. If you're in the world, what do you want to do? Curse them back. They call you a, you call them one. That's what you do. And you get in this stuff. You start putting curses on each other. Then, you know, the second thing you do is you start rehearsing it. Okay, you've said all you can say, and you go your places, and you start rehearsing this thing in you. You start, well, I should have said this. If I'd have said this, it'd have got him. It goes over in your mind like a video camera, you know, it starts replaying, you start seeing it all in there again. Boy, you're rehearsing that thing, going, I cursed him, now I'm going to rehearse it. I'm going to think about it some more. I should have said, the next time I see him, I'll tell him. That's the world. First thing you do is curse. Then you rehearse it. Am I telling you the truth now? I say, that's the world. And what that does is it causes you to stumble and stay down, because all this stuff's piling upon you. And your mind is so consumed with that person, your mind becomes so consumed, you'll get sick. People I know who have some of the worst sicknesses have some of the worst unforgiveness. Just unforgiveness just has grasped their minds. First thing you do is curse it, then you rehearse it, then you nurse it. You know, I was really right. You know, he knows I'm right, too. He knows. You start nursing it. Boy, you keep it alive in you. You don't let it die. You just nurse it. And every day you start thinking about that thing. Every day you nurse it a little bit better. And boy, that thing gets powerful in you because you keep nursing it, feeding it, taking care of it. It might want to try to die, and you'll take it to the hospital and intravenously feed it. You're going to keep it alive in you. Just keep nursing it. Curse it, rehearse it, and then nurse it. But what Christians got to learn to do is disperse it. We have got to learn to get that thing out of us. As long as it dwells within us, folks, we're stumbled, we're fallen, and he said, I didn't say it, he said in Matthew chapter 6, if you don't forgive others, I cannot forgive you. And that's where the devil wants us. We've got to learn to disperse it. We've got to learn to have compassion on that person. Love them, receive them just like they are. Release that person. What we do, here's what we do, is we take these people that's hurt us, we put them in a cage inside of our minds, then every once in a while we'll take them out and beat on them. And then we'll lock them back up and put them back in our mind until the next time we'll take them out and beat on them. Am I right? You got to take them out and let them go. Never beat on them again. Learn to disperse it. Release them. And then forgive them. And it's hard to ever find Jesus' teaching where he doesn't talk teaching about when you're offended, not to include the forgiveness. In fact, it's even, I found, and we were just reading that in Luke 17. If you'll read on there, he's talking about faith. They say, increase our faith. And he starts telling them in that passage, that to have your faith increased, you know, it's going to include forgiveness. Now, what I want to do is read this and then wrote this morning. Blessing those who have mistreated you will wash your mind. You can't stay in bondage to it once it's washed. Once you've forgiven them, once you have blessed them, once you've prayed for them, then you're washing your mind. You've washed your mind, and now you are set free from that. It's just free. You're freed from it. And as you do this, you'll be freed from the tormentors who keep you from praying, who keep you from praising, who keep you from giving, who keep you from ministering. Folks, I've seen people that were so in bondage to this offense thing that they couldn't come up and bless somebody that needed their prayers. Somebody that comes up and is crying out and wants the ministry of the body of Christ. They are so in bondage to these things, they can't come up and lay their hand on them and pray for them. Because they're in bondage and they know this is going on in their life. They're not prayed up, praised up. They're not given. They're just in a tremendous state of bondage. But as we do this, as we move into this, you'll learn you can have compassion on those that offend you because you love them and you learn to receive them just like they are. You release them and you'll forgive them. Now, I'm going to close. Many of you either know somebody that is right now in the position that I have just been describing today. You know somebody that's there, or either you're there. Now, in our church, basically, we hear forgiveness a great deal. I minister about forgiveness a good bit. But I really believe that many of us here today know people who are in such bondage to unforgiveness. And I want to minister not just to them, but to you also, not just to you as far as your forgiveness, because I know that you've heard this, and I believe that it's been real to you. But I really believe that they need to hear something. They need to be ministered to. So I'm coming from two directions, but I'm wanting to hit the same point that we've got to learn to walk in eternal forgiveness. Always forgiving. Now, first of all, what can you do? What can I do? I've said them all already. I just rehearsed them. Compassion, release, and forgive. We forgive the entire offense from the heart. Not just say it, but really bring it out from the heart that you've forgiven it. Fourthly, bless that person. Fifthly, pray for that person. And I promise you, if you will do that, you will be set freed. You will be set free from the bondages of unforgiveness and the offenses that has you down and is hindering your walk and your relationship with the Lord. Then secondly, what can I do for them? Before I even say this, how many of you know people, and we'll ask for a show of hands, how many of you know people that are right now in such bondage to unforgiveness, they're not praying, they're not praising God, they're not seeking God, they're not walking in giving, they're not walking in a body of Christ, they're not doing the things that is really required to go on and to grow in Him. How many of you know people like this? Hands all over here. What we want to do is we want to reach these people. We want to minister to these people. Because, you see, they're in a bondage and a torment that they can't go on with God. Here's what you got to do. I believe that praying for these people and praying that God will enable us or someone to come and to minister to that person, I believe that if we literally pray that, Father, I want to either minister to that person or I want you to come and minister to that person, I want, by the Holy Spirit, I want other people to come and minister to that person. If we'll pray that and speak that, then God is then allowed to dispatch the ministering spirits to go forth and bring this person to an understanding that He can forgive. So we're going to pray for them. That they must first, this is what we'll pray, first of all, see that offenses come. Secondly of all, understand that the enemy's purpose is to hinder their walk with the Lord. And thirdly, that they'll understand that they can and they have the power to overcome that offense. They have the power inside of them, no matter what they've been done to, no matter what's been done to them, they have the power to get over that offense. Now, I want us all to stand. And here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray this. And I see Kenny. I didn't know Kenny was here. Kenny, you said you had a little something that you needed to, you felt to share. You called me, okay? And we're going to pray this, and we're going to work this, and we'll let Kenny come up and just take a few minutes and share something. He was going to come over tonight, but we weren't going to have service tonight, so he made it over this morning. So I'll just let him come up. But I want to do this. First of all, I want us all, right where we're standing, whether I really spoke to you today or not, I want you to go through all these motions with us, because I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. I want us all to do this. First thing we're going to do is we're going to declare our love for that person that has offended us. You got to say it. And you got to say their name. You say, I love them. I accept them just like they are. I know they need some work as I need some work. But Father, I just accept them just like they are. And I love them. And secondly of all, I want you to take them out of your mind. Out of that cage if you got them in. I want you to hold them in your hand. And then we're going to say, Father, we release them. And I want you to let them go. And then as they're flying away, I want you to say, I forgive you. It may sound funny. It's not nearly as funny as falling on your knees 8 times at youth camp saying, holy, holy, holy. And Steve had us doing that. But I want you to release that person and say, I forgive you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. I bless you in every way. And we'll take time and bless them. And then we'll say, I pray for you. I pray that God will minister to your family or minister to your marriage or minister to your finances or minister to your body, whatever that person needs. And you're freed. You're then freed from that. And you can pick up yourself now and go on with God. And you can enter back into prayer and praise and worship. And you need it. But then secondly, what we want to do is I want those that have these people that raised their hands a while ago, and you've got people, I want you to come down here. We want to pray for them. We want to join ourselves together that God will begin to minister to those people. Okay? All right. Father, we come before you, Lord. And Lord, you've shown us today how the enemy has come.